I'm Alton Unkesh, and you're locked in. This show is where we explore the questions shaping our communities, our economy, and our future with people who bring experience, perspective, and sometimes very different points of view to the conversation. If you value these conversations, then I invite you to support this work. Your donations help us continue bringing together leaders and thinkers who are willing to have honest discussions about our state and our country. Visit lockedin.cash to become a reoccurring supporter. Your contribution helps us continue producing independent conversations that elevate our thinking. When we talk about economic development in North Carolina, we usually talk about jobs, major corporate investments, housing, and infrastructure. But what about the things that make people actually want to visit a community, spend money there, and perhaps eventually call it home? The North Carolina Folk Festival brings thousands of people into downtown Greensboro for one of the largest free music festivals on the East Coast, generating an estimated $10 million plus economic impact while showcasing more than 25 genres of music, dozens of food vendors and artisans, and artists from across North Carolina and beyond. But free doesn't mean free to produce. The festival must raise roughly $1.5 million every year, with about $1 million coming from corporate sponsors. So today I want to explore a larger question. Can festivals help build North Carolina's economy? Joining me is Savannah Thorne, Artistic Director with the North Carolina Folk Festival. Savannah, thank you for locking in with me. How are you today?
I'm doing so well, and thank you so much for having me to talk about this. I could not be more excited.
Well, I'm excited to have you here, and this is your inaugural visit to the Locked In Show, and hopefully it won't be your last, just one of many. But to start out, why don't you just maybe give my audience an introduction into who Savannah is, a little bit about your background, and how you got involved with the North Carolina Folk Festival.
Man, who Savannah is a question I think I'll be answering for the rest of my life. But, you know, to give us a little bit of context, for those who aren't familiar, the North Carolina Folk Festival is a free 3-day music festival that happens in the heart of downtown Greensboro. We have 5 main stages, 3 auxiliary stages, and I'm the artistic director, which means I'm responsible for booking all of the artists and advancing that process and making sure all the artists know where to park, know where to eat, and have all their stage plots ready. But how I got here is a really interesting question. I'm actually an ethnomusicologist by trade. That has always been my passion. I'm really interested in the ways that music and culture intersects with the arts. But I also spent 4 or 5 years in pottery manufacturing in Burlington, North Carolina, which was incredibly valuable perspective for me. I got some great experience in organizational development. I was trained heavily in HR, and got a real taste of what it means to be managing and balancing a budget. So when I was laid off from that position, unfortunately, in 2024, I was lucky enough to know the person doing my job in this role right now as the artistic director who was stepping away. And she said, Savannah, I really think you should interview for this. And I suppose the rest you can see clearly in front of you. I got the job.
No, I love it. And I want to go back to your response to my question about who Savannah is. I love your response because
you.
I often tell people you're always becoming someone. My grandfather used to always say you're either growing or you're dying, but you're always doing one or the other. And so I love your response that and for my locked in audience that follows me so closely and they know my philosophy, your response was spot on. And we don't even know each other, folks. We just got to know each other in the last 20 minutes or so. You know, for someone who has never experienced the North Carolina Folk Festival, what happens in downtown Greensboro during those 3 days that you simply can't understand by looking at the website?
Yeah, I think to your point, there are so many opportunities at the festival to learn a little bit more about yourself and about your neighbor. And I think that that's really the glue that kind of keeps us coming back over and over again. We had one of our greatest volunteers who is now sadly not with us anymore, but he wrote a beautiful piece about how Greensboro and the Folk Festival is one of the greatest family reunions that the state has. Because we welcome over 130,000 people, and you start to see these faces after 12 years now of having this festival that have been coming back time over time. I've seen children get older every year, every September. I'm like, how did you get so big? Just last year, you were dancing and you were 5 and now you're 6 and you're new, right? You're a new person coming back to this with new experience that you've gained over the last year. So I think that that's a really special aspect of that. And you know, bringing that back to the conversation about learning about ourselves, you're not just learning about yourselves, you're learning about your neighbors. We literally use census data from North Carolina to help us program all of these stages and to make sure that somebody sees themselves, somebody sees their neighbors, somebody sees something they've never seen before and learn something new. What a beautiful way to connect with each other and to understand our own humanity, not just with ourselves, but with the people across from us, you know, is dancing together and having this great third space to do something that's accessible.
You know, as I listened to you respond, I was thinking back in my mind or reflecting back to the first time I heard about the North Carolina Folk Festival. And when you hear the word folk, you know, that creates a certain image in certain people's mind. And it certainly created a certain image in my mind, Savannah. So the first time I ever heard about this, I said, I don't think that's an event for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up seeing images from the event online and on the news. And you guys do such a great job promoting and making sure it stays so visible. And so kudos on your marketing outreach. But when I started seeing the videos and the images, I actually saw a lot of people there that looked like me. And just a few years ago, a good friend of mine, Kelly Murrell, who is a social content creator and an influencer, she was actually working the festival for you guys. And she was just raving about the North Carolina Folk Festival. So you're presenting more than 25 genres of music from bluegrass and gospel to rap and indie rock. So what does folk actually mean to the festival today?
Thank you, first of all, so much for being open to the idea that the folk festival might be for you, because I agree with you. When we think of folk music, the first thing that comes to my mind, and I live in the world of ethnomusicology, so I should know better, is banjos and guitars and white guys playing Wonderwall. So I totally understand that perception. And I think it's one that we're trying to fight because Greensboro has the largest HBCU in the country here. We have NCA&T. We're a majority Black population. And that's just one picture of North Carolina that we get in Greensboro that's really beautiful. We also have incredible, you know, we're called like a refugee city. We have these great populations of people who find themselves at home here. And we're just one city in North Carolina that I'm trying to show off and talk about. So for me, I always quote the great Miles Davis when he says, music, folk music is music played by folks, because I never seen a horse play a tune before. So I really took that to heart as soon as I saw it. It's been such a guiding star for me is, you know, Demeanor, Justin Harrington, is a great rapper from Greensboro who says folk is music of the people. And I couldn't agree with that more. So if there is a tradition to the music that's being played, if that music is rooted in community, if that music plays a role in somebody's life that is in any way significant, that is music that we want to represent at the festival, because the heart of what we're trying to show is, you know, folks make music, and that's important to all of us.
You know what I love about this is, you know, for some people, the word folk, they would conjure an image the same way I did. And you all are doing a heck of a job. And I want to also congratulate Mandy, who I've had an opportunity to meet this year. And that's why we're working with you on the campaign. I think you guys are doing a great job showcasing just how diverse the North Carolina Folk Festival is. A lot of times when people don't understand the meaning of a word or a name, I think people are quick to just change the name of the event or whatever it is. And it sounds like you guys actually did the opposite. And you said, okay, well, we're not going to change the name because people don't understand what folk means, or they have a certain image in their mind when they hear it. You're just leaning more into it. And I think helping people to understand the social capital that you're trying to create through the festival, if I'm hearing you correctly.
Yeah, and thank you for that. I think that you're right. Mandy, our social media coordinator, has done an incredible job this year of really highlighting that. And we've been really lucky that our whole team has been you know, jumping behind this, because you're right. It was a very honest conversation we had when Jody Rupel, our executive director, and I came on in 2024. We both came on as brand new employees. That was a really big shift. And one of the questions that was posed to the board of directors was, we're bringing in this headliner model. We're bringing in all these new ideas. Do we change the name? And luckily for all of us, our board of directors really said, no, the heart of this festival is folk and folks, people. We are a child of NCTA, which is the National Council for Traditional Arts. They host the National Folk Festival, which goes from city to city every 3 years, kind of like the Olympics. They leave behind this infrastructure and they challenge the city to continue that forward. So North Carolina and Greensboro specifically won the bid to have the National Arts Council and the National Folk Festival come to Greensboro in 2015 to 2017. In 2018, we became our own 501c3 nonprofit. But all of that is to say is that we are not the only festival that is a folk festival that is free in the United States. There are so many sister festivals to us, and it is important to us that people know that they're not just welcome in North Carolina, that hopefully this is a rising tides moment for all of us, and we all can start to take this approach to help people understand that you are welcome, and we hope that you will be welcome, not just with us, but at Richmond Folk Festival, at Jackson Folk Festival, at Lowell, you know, and all of these different places. So it has been a really meaningful guiding star for us. It's been really important for us to keep that messaging going forward that, like, folks are the heart of this. And I think we'll get to this in a little bit, but this is a people-powered festival. And that's really, really valuable to us to keep the people at the front of that, because we couldn't host a free festival if we didn't have over 650 volunteers. You know, and that's not all. There's so many pieces to this. So keeping people at the front of our name has been very important to us. And now it would feel, I think, incomplete if we didn't have folk in our title, in my opinion. And I think that that's shared amongst the organization.
Well, and I agree now that I understand the meaning and the mission and the commitment behind it, I would agree. I think you guys should definitely continue to lean in on the name and continue to educate all of us who may have these default images that we conjure up when we hear folk music or folk festival. You know, this year, you're the artistic director, so that's a lot of pressure because you're the one that's got to secure the artist that actually drives the engagement and drives the traffic and convinces people that they want to come. Because even though the festival is free, I've done enough events in 23 years to know even a free event can go bust because people don't show up because they don't feel like they can see themselves at the event. This year, you've got as a headliner coming the Roots. And I think all of the area and the whole region has been going crazy about this announcement. So I'm not going to steal any of your thunder, Savannah. I want you to talk a little bit about how you secured the Roots. Maybe also tell us a little bit about some of the other bands that my audience can expect at the Folk Festival this year. And then I think, you know, gosh, a lot of us would never think that we could go see the Roots for free. I mean, that's pretty cool. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. And oh my word. This is certainly, there's a small child inside of me that's constantly going, pinch me, is this real? Did you do it? Did you really do it? The answer is no. I alone did not do this. It takes a village, in our case, a circus. We were extremely fortunate to receive a grant this year from the Greensboro Visitors and Convention Bureau, who offered us a pretty sizable grant to help promote the tourist economy of Greensboro, really, to keep moving that forward, to get some heads in beds and to bring people here and show off all of the great, wonderful things that Greensboro has. So there was a lot of intention behind bringing in a sizable headliner. Now, they did not say, go get us the Roots. They said, you know, program somebody and multiple somebodies that's going to bring in people and get them to Greensboro and help make this a tipping point for the Folk Festival. And we were extremely fortunate that our talent buyer, John Fields, whom I work with, you know, every day, is my right-hand man, has a great connection with their manager, who manages many, many, many very talented musicians, not just the Roots. And the Roots and their team and their management were gracious enough to reduce their their performer fee by over half to make this happen for us. So it's, we are still paying them more, the Roots, as a single artist, than we paid every single one of the artists on our footprint last year, which is just a little over $150,000 in total for context of what we paid all of our artists last year. Every single one of them, including our headliners, which included Arrested Development. You know, it's not a teeny name out there. So we're very proud of that, and we're very excited. And thank you so much. What an honor it is to host this band. Now, the question of how do we do that for free? Well, grant funding, corporate sponsorships, all kinds of things, fundraising, our booties off, and also donations at the festival are a really big part of that. So I hope that everybody who comes to the festival and you see the Roots for free, that you consider making a tiny donation. Just consider it, you know, maybe consider donating what you think the processing fees on your ticket would have been had you bought that ticket somewhere else. I don't even need you to pay the whole ticket price. Just the processing fees would go a long way for us. To answer the second half of your question about, you know, some of the other artists you can see on the footprint and what this does for us, I really want to point to the fact that I hope that the Roots gets you here. I hope that you see yourselves in the Roots, but then I hope that you stay a little longer and you explore and discover. I really like to think of our festival as a festival of discovery. Hopefully I get you here for the Roots, and I keep you here because you saw how incredible the other artists on our stages are. I could not be more proud of this lineup from a holistic perspective. I have some favorites, if you want to go through them.
Sure. Go ahead and throw them out there.
Okay, so I'm particularly proud, because I'm an ethnomusicologist and I think about global music, I'm particularly proud of some of our more global reaching artists. Obviously, we have over 50% of our artists are represented here in North Carolina or have ties to North Carolina. So there's going to be some hometown favorites, some classics that we all know. But I'm also really excited to see, for example, Samir Langus. He is a Moroccan artist who plays really cool, I think it's pronounced Gnawa music or potentially Gnawa music, and I'm going to learn how to say that correctly before the performance comes. I'm also particularly excited to see the Medicine Singers, which are a group of indigenous musicians who play their traditional medicine drums with an orchestra of traditional musicians around them that are playing guitar, more psychedelic music, that's sort of taking this into the future of what folk music can look like. Speaking of the future of folk music, we have this really wonderful duo named Ocon, that is these two brilliant women that take these traditional Afro-Cuban songs and traditional musics and put them over four on the floor electronic beats, which is really cool. So I think there's a lot of things like that that you can find at the festival where hopefully everybody can see something that they never thought that they needed to see. You know, I hope that you see something on our footprint that you're like, I never would have stopped for that had somebody said, do you want to go see an Afro-Cuban duo? Maybe not. But if you're at the festival and the stage is on and you stumble by it, I hope that you stay for a minute and you give it a shot, because I do think that everybody's going to hear something unique and interesting and cool that they otherwise wouldn't have opened themselves up to.
Well, listen, it sounds like to me, Savannah, you understood the assignment from Visit Greensboro when they gave it to you. And I know that Tony and everyone over in that shop has to be thrilled with what you guys are doing and the level of talent that you're bringing into Greensboro. I would imagine that not people are just coming from all over the state of North Carolina. I think they're probably coming from multiple states, especially if they come see the Roots. They don't have to pay for the concert. All they got to do is pay for the hotel and
that's right.
Their food and their drinks and that kind of thing. I mean, that's a major savings just in itself. And I was telling Mandy, your social media director, I said, I think marketing and getting the word out is probably going to be the least of your worries. I think you're going to have people just traveling from all over, descending upon Greensboro to be able to see the Roots. I know for me, just listening to you just now, I was on the fence whether or not I was coming to the folk festival. I don't like being around large crowds. I do love music. I love food. We're getting ready to talk about food here in a moment. But just listening to you, you're like the greatest folk festival salesperson. And so I'm sitting here saying, okay, you know what, Algernon, I at least need to block out a day or two to take some time to go over to Greensboro and experience this for myself. I've read about it. I'm having the conversation with you I've been working with you guys the last couple of months to get the word out about it through our Eat, Drink, Try It community, but that's not enough. I need to be there. I need to be there and witness what you're talking about with such great passion. And if you're in my audience, you need to be there. You need to go see what Savannah's talking about. You need to go witness it. And I thought you made a great point. I mean, when you think about what concert tickets cost nowadays, I've got some friends that pay $300 a ticket to go see Chris Brown and Usher. And, you know, I grew up listening to these guys. I love them to death. I don't know if I could come up with $300 to go see them in person. But the fact that I can come see the Roots and 24 other bands over the course of 3 days and there's no fee, at the very least, I ought to be able to make a donation of $50, $100. So that to my audience, if you're thinking about going to the Folk Festival, don't just go to the festival. Consider the fact that you're not paying for the ticket. And look at the quality of the artists that you're having an opportunity to engage with. And consider writing a donation check for at least $50, $100 to support this organization and what they continue to do year after year. So we can keep this concert for free. And who knows, Savannah, I mean, who are you going to get next year? Kanye West or Jay-Z or...
Oh, Lord, your lips to God's ears. I don't know. We all questioned, you know, last year was such a powerhouse performance from Sammy Ray, Arrested Development, Steve Canyon Rangers. These are not small artists. These are artists, you know, that are selling out arena venues. I mean, God, what I wouldn't give to see Arrested Development in any setting, you know? So they're bucket list artists for sure. And I came back wondering how we would do it again, and we managed to. So I'm not sure how I'm going to figure this out next year, but I know that I'm going to. I have faith in that much, and I have faith in my team, and I know that we're going to do a great job because we care about it. So
if you get Outkast, you would be my hero.
It wasn't on my list of things to consider until right now.
Write that one down. In fact, talk to the Roots while they're here backstage. We need to find out who we need to talk to get Outkast here from Atlanta. It's not far to go either, Savannah. They just need to come up to Greensboro from Atlanta. So if you get them, you'll be my hero and the hero of so many others. Let's talk about food for a quick moment, because that's obviously a big part of any festival experience. You guys will have more than 40 food trucks and over 55 craft artisans. If someone comes hungry and ready to explore, what should they expect from the food and the whole vendor experience this year?
Oh, man. Okay, food vendors are one of my favorite things to talk about because I always come hungry to this festival. It really is. We were doing the math. Ling Sue Withers is our incredible food vendor coordinator who champions all of this and gets all of their health inspections completed and done in time for our festival. And I think she was saying that there's literally more food trucks at our festival than there are at most food truck rodeos. So we have an incredible selection. But not only that, Ling Su cares so much about our local community, mom and pop shops, our local restaurant makers who have these incredible foods to offer, you know, menu items to offer. And she does a great job of, with her committee, really curating and selecting a huge range of different food genres that you can choose from, menu items you can choose from. You will literally have Southern fried chicken next to the best Indian restaurant you've eaten in weeks, next to a pizza joint, next to a burger joint, next to a Southeast Asian joint. There are truly no ends. This woman knows no bounds, certainly. And I do not think that there are very many repeats this year as far as, you know, getting Jamaican food right next to Jamaican food. I'm pretty sure all of our food trucks have a really unique and wide range to them as well. So it's been a joy. But a lot of this, back to your point of thinking about economic growth, all of those food trucks are self-reporting to us that they had great years last year and they made a great profit. And that's one of the ways that we can continue to drive that you know, economic investment when we support and when our audience members support those local North Carolina businesses right there just by eating a snack.
Well, I know through Eat, Drink, Triad, we recently just highlighted the festival on WXII, and we had a couple of your food vendors there. I know Dream Creams came by to share some of the ice cream that they're going to have available at the festival, as well as the Vietnamese food truck that you're going to have there. And from my understanding, this is the only Vietnamese food truck in the entire state of North Carolina. No one else is doing this, but at the North Carolina Folk Festival, you'll have an opportunity to experience that truck. And obviously, dozens and dozens and dozens of more that'll be there. You know, Eat, Drink, Triad, we're always encouraging people to experience the region rather than simply hearing about it. So for someone that might be listening to our conversation, whether they're in Greensboro, Winston-Salem, High Point, or even if they're coming from Charlotte or Raleigh, how would you describe the perfect day at the North Carolina Folk Festival?
Ooh, perfect day. Okay, I am a music lover who loves to engage in my creativity, but I think that this could apply to somebody who maybe feels a little bit hesitant about dancing in public, participating in a line dance somewhere. So I'm going to give you the perfect day from the perspective of somebody who maybe doesn't want to dive all the way into or feels hesitant about diving all the way into some of our more creative opportunities. So I'd say my perfect day is Saturday, September 19th, 2026. It's 67 degrees and sunny with a slight breeze and a couple clouds in the sky, but not too many. There may be a small spritz later in the afternoon, but not enough to shut us down, just enough to cool us off. We're happy. I came very hungry, so the first thing I have to do is go get a churro. I have to start all of my festival days off with a churro. That's my personal. I just saw Liz from the corner say, yes, that is my go-to how I start all of my days. I have to get a lucky churro. The first thing I'm going to do is go over to my favorite stage, which is the largest day stage, the stage that we have our headliners on. And we have really big banners available both at the stages and at the info booths that tell us what all of the artists are. I'm going to make my schedule of are the artists I'm going to go see. And then hopefully the first thing that I'm going to go do is pop over to the Folklife area and participate in some of our live painting opportunities. Then I'm going to go to LeBauer stage and I'm going to go participate in one of our dance workshops, probably the Ballet Folklorico, because I think their dresses are so beautiful. Then I'm going to go to the jam stage and I'm probably too shy to participate in a jam, but I'm going to watch and I'm going to think about it. And I'm going to think about participating maybe next year. And then I think I'm going to spend the rest of the afternoon parked at one of the stages because it's really hard to choose bouncing from stage to stage who you're going to see. I think instead I would park myself at one of the stages and spend 3 hours there and see the artists back to back to back. And then, of course, if it's Saturday night, we're going straight to Medicine Singers, followed by Jackie Vinson, followed by The Roots. And then we're going to go downtown onto Elm Street to finish it off with one of the after parties so we can spend some money in our local businesses on Elm Street.
So, Savannah, you may need to be my personal tour guide when I come out to the North Carolina Folk Festival. I can't believe you and I have been having this conversation and we're talking about the Folk Festival and my audience. I know they are getting excited. But one thing we have not said, we've told them about the food, the music, all the hard work that you're putting in, everything. We haven't told them the date. We haven't told them the time and we haven't told them the location. So, Savannah, real quick, tell them the date, time and location for the North Carolina Folk Festival. Maybe throw the website.
And thank you so much for bringing that back up. I'm such a great spokesperson. So the North Carolina Folk Festival is in downtown Greensboro, primarily on Church Street. It is September 18th, 19th, and 20th of this year. That's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The Folk Festival is largely all day. On Friday, our opening ceremonies start at 4:45 and we go to 10 p.m. Saturday, we are all day long until the Roots decide that they're coming off stage. And I hope that's not till very late. Don't tell GPD I said that. And then on Sunday, we're leaving a little bit of room for a hangover just in case. So there's a 1 p.m. start time on the footprint on Sunday, and we go till about 8 o'clock before we have to start tearing everything down.
You know, this is one of the largest free music festivals on the East Coast, costs about $1.5 million every year to produce it. When people walk around the festival, and obviously it's going to be a lot going on, a lot to do, one thing they won't be able to see very clearly, Savannah, is the 650 volunteers that make this experience possible, and they make it free. So talk about how important the volunteer team is to producing such a great event.
Holy wow. So our volunteers, you'll see them in their beautiful volunteer shirts. They do everything from working at our beer tents and our merchandise tents, which is one of our only earned revenue, you know, line items that we have. They literally help us make that revenue happen. They also do everything from managing backstage to archiving and logging all of the music experiences so that we can archive that for our partnership with, hopefully in the future, the North Carolina Folkways Institute. Our volunteers also literally handle all of the transportation from the artists getting from our festival hotel and our headquarters at the Hyatt Hotel all the way to the footprint. Our volunteers help us manage all of our info booths and our first aid booths. And we could not do this without all of the volunteers that power this machine, truly and most honestly. We are still looking for volunteers. If people would like to get involved, we would love to have them. This is a great way. If you want to be up close to the stage and you want to be in the shade, I very much recommend volunteering for the VIP tent shifts. Those are very easy to do, and then you get to sit in VIP and be comfy. But there's many, many shifts like that. If you have any experience, to even if you have no experience, we're happy to train you on how to do these processes. So if you go to NC, as in North Carolina, Folk Festival, FolkFestival.com, and click Get Involved, you'll see an opportunity to go check out all of the different volunteer things that we have available, shifts that we have available. Typically, a shift is about 2 hours, and you are making this whole festival go. It's incredibly important to us. So thank you for giving us an opportunity to plug that. And we hope to see you there. And we have some really great perks for our volunteers, too, that they'll have to find out when they definitely go click that button.
Well, my audience knows that I am a huge believer in service above self, and that I think that you got to give back. It's just not good enough to live in a community and make money and enjoy the community and enjoy the resources of the community without actually giving some of your time, talent, and treasure back to the community. So I strongly want to encourage my audience to go learn about the volunteer opportunities at the North Carolina Folk Festival. I mean, it's got to be the coolest volunteer job ever. I mean, you get to volunteer for 2 hours and all you're doing is listening to music and meeting people and eating all food trucks and having a great time. So make sure you go check out that opportunity. Now, roughly $1 million of the annual budget comes from corporate sponsorships, or our local companies are also giving back some of their treasure to this event. Why do you think companies are willing to make that kind of an investment? And what would the festival look like without these corporate partners?
Well, to answer the second part of your question first, what would the festival look like without those corporate sponsorships? We simply wouldn't have a festival, is the answer. I don't think that it would be possible without that, without their contributions to making sure that this happens. We had incredible feedback, especially last year, from our corporate partners who we were asking, you know, what are you getting out of this? Obviously, a lot of corporate sponsorships are coming out of their marketing budget, and they are getting in front of a great audience as an opportunity to show off the commitment that they have to serving their community and to uplifting their community. But as we received feedback, a lot of these partners actually said this was coming straight out of their philanthropy budget because this is something that they believe betters their community and enriches their employees' lives when their employees have access to opportunities like this to go enjoy festivals like this. So it seems like a no-brainer. And to be honest, given the current climate, both economically and politically, I was surprised to see that. I was surprised to see that a lot of these organizations were saying that this was a benefit to them simply because of the philanthropy of it all. And we could not be more grateful for those investments because it allows us to have things like more tents and shade. We're a downtown festival, so it's a concrete jungle and that gets really hot. It keeps us weatherproof. But outside of that, it allows us to build in more safety measures, more infrastructure, bring in cooler artists, have better staging equipment. It really There is not a single part of our festival that isn't touched and bettered, you know, without these corporate sponsorships. So it's been really invaluable, and it's been incredible to see how the festival, or excuse me, how the response to Jody, our executive director, and also our development director, has, you know, really been able to rally everybody around the festival, and how they've been able to commit to really saying this is something that they want to keep available for everybody in the future.
Savannah, thank you for sharing that, because I think it's worth emphasizing, because corporations, you know, so often we criticize them for the profits that they generate. But, you know, that profitability is also what gives companies the ability to reinvest capital into these types of social causes that can develop social capital within our communities. And so I think that's so important that we don't always demonize all of our companies. All of our corporations, because despite the fact that they are set up to make profits, a lot of times those profits are reinvested to make sure something like the North Carolina Folk Festival remains free for everyone. And so I think that's huge. I would also, I'm not going to be able to list all the sponsors, of course, but I would encourage my audience to go learn more about the sponsors of the North Carolina Folk Festival. And certainly if you see someone on there that you recognize, or a place that you already shop or support, continue to support them, because you can see right now, you can see very clearly and visibly that your dollars that are going into those companies are showing up in this event right here at the North Carolina Folk Festival. I just got a couple more questions for you, Savannah. You're an incredible guest. I could have you on. I need one of those 2-hour Joe Rogan experiences with you. But you know, the festival generates an estimated $10 million plus economic impact. What does that number actually mean? And then where does that economic activity actually show up for Greensboro?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the overall economic impact, we had the incredible pleasure of working with the UNC Greensboro Bryant School of Business. They had some really talented master's students who took us on as a capstone project. And they were working with really incomplete data. So this is an incredibly conservative estimate that they gave us, this, you know, $10 million economic impact. They were looking at data not only from business driven on the footprint. So all of the self-reported earned revenue from our food place vendors, from our marketplace vendors. They were also looking at the total investment made in the artistic community. So all of the artists that were paid, all of the crew members that were paid, all of the investment that we're making into tents, you know, in infrastructure and things like that. They also went on to Elm Street and started looking at Elm Street and the broader greater Greensboro area and what the self-reported economic impact coming from them looked like compared to other slower weekends where there wasn't a massive festival happening downtown. And what we saw was that the festival really created a big bump for everybody, not just for the vendors that were on the footprint, but even for the vendors on Elm Street, for the small business owners on Elm Street, for the restaurants on Elm Street. They saw an uptick in activity, in just shoppers in their store, but also that produced more revenue for them, which was truly something we were so excited to hear, because that is the goal, is that this becomes a net positive, not just for employee retention in Greensboro and lifestyle improvement in Greensboro, but also genuinely becoming a driver for more revenue streams being possible for everybody in the downtown area and the greater Greensboro area at large. We are continuing to be committed to the idea that as much money as we can that we are generating and raising through these corporate sponsorships are going back into reinvesting into North Carolina in every way that we can. So over 50% of the artists that we pay are living in North Carolina, and that money is going to stay in our economy. And we try to make sure that that's true for as many of the food vendors, marketplace vendors as possible, and making sure that we see that work for the greater Greensboro area at large. And hopefully one day we'll see all of North Carolina continue to rise because the festival becomes that successful and we're in multiple cities maybe one day.
Well, 130,000 people coming into town, I mean, that's a huge economic impact. That's a lot of heads in the beds, as we call it in the hotel business.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
A lot of butts in the seats. And the restaurant tours as well. So, I mean, I think you guys are having such a great impact, and it sounds like you're being very thoughtful and intentional with your approach. So again, as I congratulated you throughout this conversation, I want to continue to do so. Before we get ready to go, give everyone the details once again. When is the North Carolina Folk Festival? Where should people go? And what should someone attending for the first time expect before they arrive?
Yeah, great question. So the North Carolina Folk Festival is September 18th, 19th, and 20th in downtown Greensboro. We are largely located on Church Street between the train station, depot, and Flatiron, which is a plug to say, you, if you are coming from Raleigh or from Charlotte, you should consider taking the train into Greensboro for the festival for the day. Don't worry about parking and all of that hassle. We have a stage. As soon as you get off the train station, there is a stage at the depot. So it's a party all around. We hope to see you all September 18th, 19th, and 20th in downtown Greensboro. But for new folks who are coming to participate, I hope you expect to see some incredible new musicians. I hope you are able to dance in new and exciting ways. We have two folk life areas. We have over 70 makers market space artists and craft artisans, over 40 food trucks. I hope you bring your sunscreen with you. Some good walking shoes, you know, but other than that, just be ready to have a really good time and to make some hopefully lifelong memories with your whole family.
And in a year where the economy has been slow and so many small businesses have been negatively impacted in Greensboro this year, I think this festival could not arrive at a better time. Right at the end of our summer, it's been a hot summer. A lot of people have been concerned about things they're seeing in the news and all around the world. This is an opportunity to just come together, forget all that for a weekend. Doesn't cost you anything. All you got to do is just show up, have a little bit of money on you for some food, enjoy the music. Who knows, you might meet your best friend at the North Carolina Folk Festival. There's 130,000 people there. Might meet your future spouse at the North Carolina Folk Festival. No telling what may happen at the North Carolina Folk Festival. Here is my absolute last question for you. My audience knows, 6 years ago, we created Eat, Drink, Triad, and I'm such a huge supporter and proponent of our locally owned restaurants, bars, breweries, cafes. I think that they just make up the fabric of not only a city like Greensboro, but every city across America. So here's my last question. It's probably going to be the hardest question I've asked you in this entire conversation, actually. What's one restaurant that you would recommend in Greensboro?
Okay, this is actually not a very hard question at all. I have recently been obsessed with Emma Keys. Emma Keys is on the corner of Walker and Elm, and it is a really great little burger joint. It is a flat top burger joint. They do smash burgers, but golly, I almost said a bad word. Do they make a good burger? It is one of the best in the city, in my opinion. And their buns are toasted to perfection.
You answered that one very quickly, and I'm going to correct you on just one thing that you said. It is not the best hot dog in Greensboro. I think it's the best hot dog in the region, and I love Logan and her husband over there. It's a husband and wife team over at Emma Keys. Right. Absolutely love them. They've got one of the best hot dogs in the region. I think they also have one of the best hamburgers in the region, especially if you enjoy like a gourmet burger. I mean, they're using home chili and red onions and all the good stuff. I need to stop talking about this
because I'm hungry.
I'm going to end up making a trip over to Emma Keys. But no, that was a great recommendation, Savannah. I so appreciate you joining me. This has been another episode of Locked In with Algernon Cash. Savannah, thank you for joining me and sharing more about the North Carolina Folk Festival and the role events like this can play in North Carolina's economy. If you value these conversations, then I invite you to support this work. Your donations help us continue bringing together leaders and thinkers who are willing to have honest discussions about politics, business, money, and the community issues most important to our state and country. Visit lockedin.cash to become a reoccurring supporter. Your contribution helps us continue producing independent conversations that elevate our thinking. You can also subscribe to my podcast on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify. Share this episode and send it to a friend. I'm Algernon Cash, and y'all stay locked in.
The executive producer of the Locked In podcast is Algernon Cash for WGC. The associate producer is Tim Beeman for Such and Such Media. This podcast is copyrighted and cannot be reproduced without express written consent of WGC.